Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
I'm Patrick Barrett.
And this is the first of the post-election.
Cities in flames.
Cambridge Inside Out.
Yeah, it's all over, folks. Just move.
Actually, it's not over. It's not over.
Not over
till the fat lady sings, or until the overseas absentee ballots and provisional ballots are counted, which is this Friday. All right, let me get the nomenclature correct because there seems to be some confusion about it.
Yeah.
We typically call it the preliminary results on Tuesday night, which is election night. The unofficial results were Wednesday, which is pretty much the whole story.
Yeah.
But it ain't really over until Friday, this coming Friday, in late afternoon.
When we're expecting a major
overhaul. Yeah, there'll be three or four more ballots are going to be thrown in the bucket there. But, you know, if the margins were a little bit closer, which they are not, but if they were a little bit closer, just because of some of the uncertainties about the so-called randomness of the surplus distributions, yeah, there can be swings of 10 to 20 ballots, even if there's only three extra ballots show up, depending on where they get strategically located. You know, that could happen. But the thing is that ultimately the margins were way beyond that. So there ain't going to be no changes, folks.
Sorry, it's over. Craig.
It really is over. So, so anyway, so what happened at the election here, Patrick?
It looks like if you're on social media at all, you know that every single neighborhood group won this election. Congratulations to all of them. It's amazing. I think that my favorite one was the Cambridge Citizens Coalition wrote something to the effect of, we got 37% of our candidates in, which is more than any other group had gotten, except for the other group, which takes all the development money and is terrible. And that's why they got more.
Right.
But with the interesting fun fact of that is that the three candidates that they got in were also the same three candidates that the Cambridge Residents Alliance had. So
everybody takes credit.
Yeah. Everyone wins. That's a very Cambridge thing to do, actually. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm actually
ribbons for all.
You know, with Cambridge Civic Journal, I do actually have a mailing list, and basically the only thing I ever send out is sort of like, don't forget to vote, and here's how you look up about the candidates, right? But I now feel like I actually cleaned it all up because I think I have to send a missive out to all of Cambridge to basically say, look, this is what actually happened, and this group is saying, I don't think so, what that group, not
people
really.
People are reading a lot into the numbers.
Yes.
Which is something that people are wont to do, and I think given how much campaigning was done, some people deserve to rest a little bit on their laurels, I suppose. But,
I suppose.
I can't say that the way that I look at it, I can't say that it's a landslide victory for any group in particular. I think it seems.
No, it's not at all.
If anything, it's kind of a wash.
I think that the biggest lesson learned for this election and pretty much any election, which is that incumbents tend to get reelected.
Yeah. You know? Well, isn't that the purpose of a slate?
Yeah, and I think that yes.
No offense to all you slaters out there.
It's I think there was one group had nine people on a slate, another one had seven, and it was various other numbers on there. And the truth is, if you really look at it, and if you actually know who the slate makers are, the truth is they know as well as anyone that in fact slates are basically there to protect your incumbents.
Yeah.
And if you get lucky, maybe pick up another seat.
If you're really, really smart, you find a way to make it so that you're on three or four different slates at the same time.
Yeah.
Pretty smart.
That alone will not get you in, but it's
but
it might help you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just so we know, who was elected, by the way? We could probably just rattle those out here. In order of election.
Yes.
By the way, the ordering of the top ranking, you know, the number one votes is different than the order of election, right? What's the city council, the order of number one votes?
Order of number one votes, here we have.
Yeah. What do we got here? We focus principally on the city council. We also probably want to talk about school committee as well here.
That's 2017.
That's 2017. So that's not going to help.
It ain't going to help, but it gives us some perspective on these landslide victories everyone is claiming.
Right.
So top of the ticket was Sumbul Siddiqui, which is awesome.
This is just number one votes.
Number one votes. And I say it's awesome for not because I agree with her politics. I think she and I are pretty different, but she's a great person.
Yeah.
And she got dropped like a hot potato by a bunch of different neighborhood groups. CREZE, the Cambridge Citizens Coalition wouldn't even consider her. Our Revolution Cambridge dropped her. And all because of really the courthouse vote.
The courthouse vote.
But if you looked at the question and answers that they had sent out for her to respond to, she is straight down the line answering every question, singing exactly the same song that all those groups want to hear.
Right.
But the courthouse killed her.
That's right.
But not really, because she topped the ticket number one votes.
You know, what I have always said consistently is one of the biggest problems I have with slates, candidate slates, it's not that whether they're effective or not, because I think they can be very effective. It's that they're made up by a handful of people. Yeah,
but the notion that these neighborhood groups speak for the population of Cambridge is nonsense.
They never did, and they never will.
You look at Sumbul in 2017 and Sumbul in 2019, like almost everybody who voted for her in 2017 voted for her again in 2019.
Right.
Barely a shift, if not a little bit upwards. And considering that voter turnout was down 10%, that's really a huge boost for Sumbul.
Right. Now, interestingly, in terms of the top rankings, the number one votes, you see some interesting things, like Tim Toomey actually came in third out of 22 candidates in number one votes. If you work your way down, you know, so McGovern is fifth, Carlin sixth, Kelly actually comes in seventh in number one votes, but ultimately was not elected. Alana Mallon, I think she came in 10th, was it 10th?
Yeah.
I think it was 10th. And she ended up being elected,
Well, I think the interesting part of this is Alana was down by about 100 votes, and Kelly was up by almost 400 votes.
Right.
And he, number one votes, and he lost. And, maybe that bump came from the overlay stuff. I don't think it came from whatever slate he was attached to. I just think Kelly, for the past 2 years, has been a great counselor.
Yeah.
Sort of moderate, not too this way or too that way, reasonable. That didn't translate into transfer votes to put him up, but
right.
It did translate into a lot more number ones.
Yeah. So in other words, the slates are kind of having the effect in the margins. Actually, let me just say that before we can kind of ramble down through all of these things here, but the one thing that I think everybody needs to understand, and what everybody who's reading and giving their analysis completely misunderstands, is that it wasn't your slate and it wasn't your overlay issue and it wasn't any of these things that was the primary determining factor.
It was leaf blowers.
And it wasn't leaf blowers. Okay? It was the candidates themselves.
Yep.
And that meant there were a lot of incumbents who people knew and liked and they felt some loyalty to. Just like in every Cambridge election going back to 1941, you know, and the thing is that, so if you throw in sort of like the overlay issue or the courthouse issue with some people down East Cambridge, I'm sure there are a few other things in here, then it sways some voters here and there.
The Sullivan Chamber is a vacuum. I mean, people, we're there, we're right up front and center, and there's a reason why there's a vacant seat in the Sullivan Chamber, because it never sells out, usually, unless it's about leaf blowers. Right. But I think everyone just assumed that the overlay was like, everyone knew about it, it's all they ever talked about, and it turns out that no.
Here's the quiz question I give. So you ask yourself this. It says, if somebody's voting for Sumbul Siddiqui, were they going to vote for her or not vote for her based on her stance on the overlay? If somebody's going to be voting for Denise Simmons, were they going to be voting for her based on her stance
If you're Sumbul and you're looking at these numbers, though, and you're considering Our Revolution and Cireze, who dropped her, they never helped you.
They never helped you. Don't forget. Now you know. It's true. It's true.
You never needed them.
It's really true. Yeah. It's absolutely true. So anyway, so you heard a little quick rundown of the order of number one votes. Now, order of elections different. Now, remember, Tim Toomey came in third in number one votes. He was the last one elected. Ninth. Okay?
What does that tell us?
What does that tell us? I'm not sure what it tells us. I mean, part of that is just sort of the shifting around of ballots with the transfers, and the slates play a bit of a role.
Yep.
You know, Craig Kelly kind of just started off reasonably well in the position, but then he was sort of left hanging because other...
Is this the power of the slate in the feeder votes that bring in transfers across into the 12th and the 15th?
Honestly, I'll say it straight away this way. As far as I'm concerned, the slates played a role in selecting the ninth person.
Right.
And they played no role in everything else. None. Really none. Now, so does that mean that, you know?
But wait a second. I saw on Twitter that ABC won the election.
Not true.
What? Social media. Social media lied.
No, 9 individuals won election.
I can't believe that.
You know, and 13 individuals failed to win election. Or 14 individual, no, 13, it failed to win election.
Should we talk about the fallen, or should we just skip over them?
You know, I think maybe it's worth saying a few things in terms of expectations that were met or exceeded or failed to meet expectations. By the way, just order of election for city council, which also do the school committee, it was Sumbul Siddiqui topped the ticket. Denise Simmons came in second in number ones and second elected, therefore. Which is just a reverse, because two years ago it was Simmons first, Siddiqui second. Right?
Exactly.
So how much of a change are we talking about? Earth-shattering difference, don't you think? Oh my goodness, those slates! Look at the effect of those slates. You know, Patty Nolan came out in, I think, fourth in number one votes, was number three elected.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely drawing from a lot of the Jan Devereaux type of voters. And I think if Jan Devereaux ran this year, she would have probably finished third or better, too. So
yeah,
I think she went out very popular.
No discredit to Patty Nolan, because I think she ran a fine race.
And her own person.
Everyone saw her as the heir apparent to Jay Debs. But I think if Jay Debs was still in it, she would have done...
She would have done fabulously well. You know, and I absolutely strongly hope that Jan Devereaux, who chose not to seek re-election, and Craig Kelly, who failed to get elected... that I hope that both of them are going to be loud, clear voices for the coming few years.
Oh, J-Devs and Craig both told me that they're going to be drinking a flask of whiskey in the Sullivan Chamber for the next couple of years with me, rooting for Central Square.
Way to go. I'm all for that. So anyway, just to rattle them off, in order of election, it was Siddiqui, Simmons, Nolan. Mm-hmm. Quentin Zondervan finished fourth, which is actually pretty much similar to what happened, I think, last time around. Again, once again... what an earth-shattering difference from 2017.
Well, I think with a guy like Quentin, he dropped about 150 votes, but that's more
voter
in line.
Turnout was down. That's a little more in line bit, with so them, yeah. Totally explainable based on voter turnout. Mark McGovern was elected fifth. I think finished fifth in number. I think he probably expected to be way up near the top.
Yeah.
So he probably feels a little disappointed. Well, but he was elected, so what's to complain about?
Nothing to complain about. And I think I saw him skipping with one of those hooping sticks down the street at like midnight on
really?
Pleasant Street. The only thing I think with McGovern is, you know, he dropped about 200 votes. You'd think with the mayor position he would get a bump.
He should have been bumped.
But I actually think, you know, it's in terms of slates and in terms of who's voting for who, there's a Mark McGovern voter. There's a Sumbul Siddiqui voter.
That's
there's
right.
a Denise Simmons voter. And that hasn't changed.
And they don't really care about the slates, and they don't really care about the overlay.
Nope, they're smarter than you all.
That's right. As simple as that. Alana Mallon, I think, actually probably could have done better.
I was nervous for her.
Yeah?
Because I think she took a lot of fire for the overlay.
Right.
She also, she took some, she fought for Central Square, which is a typically unpopular thing to do. She helped us get the bid. Which was not controversial, but like doesn't, you know, I think people in West Cambridge are like, what's a bid? And, you know, where is it? Central Square? Where? I don't think she...
In West Cambridge, they bid on artwork, expensive artwork.
Yeah, they bid on artwork, but they don't, not from, or, they don't
or
come
500-year-old bottles
They
of
don't
wine.
Come down here. You know, they say, oh, it's in Cambridge, so wonderful and great, because we're so diverse and fantastic, but that actually only happens in Central. But I'm so glad that Alana got back on, because I was really nervous.
So she finished 10th in number one votes, but was the 6th person elected. Now, the one that probably deserves someone is the one, the wild card was who's going to pick up that 9th seat if somebody, like Kelly, as it turns out, was bumped off.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been Carlone just as easily, but it wasn't. And that person was Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people already talking, speculating, well, what's he going to be all about, you know?
Every group has so far claimed that he stands with them firmly, so...
Right.
Good luck, Jeevan.
Right. So he was selected 7th, and Dennis Carlone, then Tim Toomey.
Yep.
Was squeaked in at the very end. Right? And it's interesting because Tim, as you said, finished 3rd in number one votes, but was the 9th person elected.
The Carlone-Kelly battle happened last time, although I think it was Sean Tierney was thrown in the mix. You know, they're always Carlone always struggles to get past go, but he seems to be able to do it.
Right.
And I think... honestly, it was a flip of a coin between Kelly and Carlone. I think it could have happened the next day that Kelly would have won and Carlone would have lost.
That's really true. I think it's really true. And I'm just going to rattle off the order of election for school committee just to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Monika Bowman topped the ticket. Emily Dexter also had in excess of quota. So those two went in on the first count. And Freddie Fantini came in on the next count on the surplus. So he's the third person elected. I would just point out, those are the three incumbents. Oh, yeah, incumbents have an advantage in elections.
They seem to, don't they?
They do seem to. Oh, no, it was the Our Revolution slate. It was the endorsement that did it.
Bernie Sanders came in and said, Dexter, you're my girl. And people resonated with that.
Right. Now, I have to say, I didn't really know a whole lot about, you know, school committee. I knew I had candidates I particularly liked with Ryan Allen and Chris Lim. You know, neither of them won, but I'd heard great things about
him. I was bummed about Chris Lim. I found out he's my neighbor. He's a really nice guy. I thought he was a great candidate. Yeah. I was really hopeful that he's on the council. And I hope he runs again, because I think he did really well and has a good chance.
I hope he runs again as well. So fourth person elected was Aisha Wilson, who had a lot of people backing her.
Yeah.
Rachel Weinstein. So one Weinstein won, one Weinstein didn't win. And then the other one was this, you know, I don't think anybody could have predicted too well who the sixth seat was going to go to.
Right.
So it could have been Chris Lim, whatever. It ended up being Jose Luis Rojas Villarreal. Honestly, I had no way of predicting one way or another.
Patty was a big booster for him, and I think she topped the ticket last year, so
maybe some of that word went around.
Maybe a few votes went to him. But
possible.
I met him at the Cambridge Port Neighbors.
Really nice guy. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, super great nice guy. I ran him when he was pulling papers. Ran into him then. He was
quick. Now that the school committee matters to me more than ever, because I'm a parent, I kind of pay a little more attention to this. But as we've discussed before, like, you know, there's a lot more political background on that needs perhaps for another show. But you know, they're all good candidates. I think they're all going to be doing a good job.
Yeah, yeah. One candidate worth a little extra special mention, because I find it kind of interesting. I wasn't making any predictions about, you know, if either Kelly or Carlin would have lost, who the other person was going to be. I thought, could it be Musgrave? Could she have won? Mm. She did very much fell below, I think, any of her expectations she may have had.
And she did better than she did in 2017,
I think that, you know,
the amount of money that she spent, I thought she'd do much better.
And really playing up the overlay didn't seem
Which
to add to a vote.
Proves
total.
Again, I think the point
that wasn't really the issue.
The more money you have, the better you do, right?
Not really true. I mean,
never true.
McGovern broke over $100,000. I think he set a record. You know, and still he came in fifth. So, you know, it ain't the money. It really isn't the money. So the interesting thing, and again, this is somewhat just speculation, but Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler, who I hope turns out to be great. You know, so this is a situation where there were four prominent slates, and he and I think Risa Metnick both were like on three of them.
Right. Well played.
Right?
Well played.
And I, you know, my personal feeling about slates is unambiguously that they are there for incumbency.
What slate wasn't Jeevan on? It wasn't on CCC slate.
On the CCC slate, right.
So that they had a lot of influence there.
So the thing is that basically, you know, your job as a slate member is to die and elect the incumbents.
Lift me above.
Don't forget it, you know? Yeah. I mean, this kid, Burhan Azim, you know, the MIT, recent MIT grad.
Nice kid.
Nice kid, you know, came to my office, you know, wonderful, wonderful fellow. But, you know, I kept telling a lot of my people down at MIT, I said, you know, I don't think the slate makers are going to have the courage to tell him the truth, which is your job is to die.
Well, Burhan, I looked him up, read some of his stuff. I really liked a lot of what he was saying. And I think, actually, he said he has some crazier thoughts about zoning than I do. And I was like, wow, this guy could be lots of fun to have on the council. But, you know, he redid so well this time around. He's got to try again. He's got to.
Well, if he's still here. You know, you never really know. I mean, you know, there are people like Matt DeBragerless did actually very well, finished eighth, but didn't win, I think, in 2003. You know, but then he started Act Blue, and, you know, and now that's like everywhere,
right.
So he landed on his feet just fine.
They all seem to.
Yeah.
You know, Jeevan, I know nothing about. I saw him actually in passing, walking down River Street. I said, "Hey," he also said, "Hey," and that was the most we've ever exchanged ever. I did see him campaigning with Quentin.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because I think Quentin has been like the persona non grata of the ABC group.
Right.
And here's their slate guy, allegedly, with Quentin, who is you know, objectively not really the most pro-housing candidate out there, unless you can sort of like thread the needle while running a horse on top of the sun by jumping over the moon on a unicorn, right. then I'll let you do it.
Yeah.
So there's a message that I don't quite get. You know, he's our revolution guy, so pro rent control.
Well, he's an avowed socialist.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone's.
Don't know how that's going to play.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to play out either. I think does the AHO come right back? Is he voting for that? You know, some people say yes, some people say no. I don't know. It's all hearsay, so who the hell knows?
Well, my basic read here is a situation where the various slates, they wanted to pad out their slates to have candidates to make sure that their preferred candidates win. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and yes, with the possibility that one of the others might actually win, sure, right? But your primary job when you're on that slate is really to sort of is to help the slate. Yeah. I saw more than a few pieces of literature from some slate members, prominent slate incumbents, who didn't mention the slate at all because they're promoting themselves, you know.
Do you remember when Leland Cheung and all those guys made like the old guy slate, like all?
The unity slate.
The unity slate. What?
It was nothing but incumbents.
Oh my God! What a disaster that was.
Yeah, except that they all won.
They all won.
They all won because they were incumbents.
But incumbents. But I don't think you could ever
the
say
slate was irrelevant.
The slate made it happen. It was. Once the council had. Jumped on board of that slate, they couldn't find a way to get off faster.
Exactly, exactly. So here's my sort of first read. Now, I've never spoken with Jeevan Sabrina Wheel at all. Mm-hmm. I don't really know, but I might read him because I put up the candidate pages. Oh, which, by the way, I should mention that so before I forget. It was kind of interesting just looking at the numbers of candidate pages. For those of you who think that voters have done tremendous amounts of research for the months leading up to the election, you know, so anyway, some candidates
set phasers to disappointed.
They didn't even get me stuff until a few days before election day. But the thing is that the numbers are kind of curious. So like several days before election day, there's maybe about 600 or 700 happening on a given day. 2 days before election day, it jumps to 1,325 visitors, right? The day before election, it's about 3,500. And on election day itself, it's 9,247. There were over 11,000 unique visitors to the Cambridge candidate pages and about 21 or 22,000 people who voted. So that's a lot of people, like half the voters in Cambridge, right?
Oh, my God. But, Who do I vote for?
But I mean, I've got messages from friends who said, like, yeah, I really, really want to thank you for the candidate pages. I was waiting online wondering who I should vote for, and I took out my phone, and I was finding out about the candidates, and then I had to vote.
Think of how disappointed they're going to be in 2021 when they find out there's a paywall now.
Yeah, no, there's going to be no paywall. Anyway, my read of Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler, and I'm not saying this to be positive, negative, or anything like that, is that this is a situation where multiple candidate slates wanted him to be there to kind of pull in votes for their slate. Mm-hmm. Maybe thinking he could be elected, maybe not. But the point is we want you on our slate to feed our other candidates. I think the same could be said of Risa Metnick. The thing is that then he was relentless. I saw him working streets. I saw him distributing flyers and ringing doorbells. So he was there. He was definitely there, and he was...
I don't know Jeevan, but I know that he's smart. I know that he put this together well, and it was well thought out and well orchestrated on his part.
Yeah.
What his views are, I could not tell you.
Right.
Only what I see on his literature, which doesn't really align at all with ABC, more with the Cambridge Residents Alliance folks, actually, who I think if I was going to pick the smartest horses in the race, I don't think you could argue that C-Res A is by far the smartest of the groups. Right. No offense to any of you, but...
Yeah.
But they have their stuff together.
But I think he played it very, very well. You know, he managed to be on multiple slates. I think being on multiple slates got him a share of votes.
Oh, yeah.
He was a decent candidate. And
you're on the Our Revolution, the C-Res A, and you're on the pro. So you're pro-housing, you're anti-housing, and you're whatever the heck Our Revolution is. I have no idea.
I don't even know.
So,
yeah.
Like, wow. I'm just impressed by that. I think, if anything, kudos.
Yeah, no. So it's it works out.
I look forward to fighting with you for the next 2 years.
Right. So anyway, but for those who thought somehow like the overlay was the be-all end-all, it was a factor.
Yep.
You know, compared to incumbency, it was a tiny factor.
Yeah.
You know, but incumbency still.
I think when you see voter turnout being down, I think people expected like an uptick of a couple thousand voters just on this issue alone. That just didn't happen.
I didn't. I actually assumed that it was going to be pretty much where it was going to end.
All I had to do is go to my next door neighbor and say, hey, Rich, have you heard about this overlay? He's like, what?
I candidates still to this day, they're saying that, you know, so I was ringing doorbells, people didn't even know what the details were anyway. So, you know, so the in the rarefied atmosphere of the activist world, they all think this was the be-all end-all. I don't think that was really how it worked out for voters, you know. You know, so anyway, it was a factor, but not everything. What happens next will be an interesting question.
That is going to be interesting.
You know, and again, there's lots of other issues. You know, there's a city manager contract that'll be up, I think, in the next term. But the thing is that, you know, this the new council.
I think it's expected that, you know, at least from what I've heard of the ABC people, is that they expect the overlay to come back tomorrow. And I think if they do that, I think if that council actually does proceed on that, and like, you know, in January or February we see it again, I think it'd just be a colossal mistake. Because the overlay is a bad idea, but just because I think if you want to get people on board and you want to get, you know, have it be something that's more of a holistic, complete thing, you gotta bring some more people into the fray and make it a part of Envision, a part of. That's what I really hope they do. I hope they actually spend some time with the $3.5 million they just spent on a master planning process that's little more than a coloring book and add some zoning to it.
Right.
Happy to assist.
Yeah, do that, definitely. And don't obsess just over one issue. I mean, I think to me that you have a choice for the nine that will raise their hands in January. Mm-hmm. You can begin by being aggressors, you know, because you are so full of righteousness. Or you can be conciliatory and try and sort of do what's best for everybody in the city and not have everybody's trying to.
Is Jeevan a guaranteed yes on the overlay?
Who knows?
What a bomb that would be if they brought it back again and it went out to sea again.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Anyway, we're going to take a break here.
All right.
But we'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.
Bye-bye.